Now from the KSFR newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Wednesday, October 16th.
State Senator Howie Morales of Silver City plans to formally enter the race for the Democratic gubernatorial nomination in New Mexico next week. Morales' office confirms that he will formally launch his campaign next Tuesday. Morales is a former teacher, baseball coach, and Grant County clerk. The 40-year-old has been a state senator since 2008, originally appointed to the seat by then-Governor Bill Richardson. Two other Democrats are also seeking the party's nomination, State Senator Linda Lopez of Albuquerque and Attorney General Gary King. The incumbent governor is Republican Susana Martinez. In other New Mexico political news, there's now a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate seat held by Democrat Tom Udall. David Clements, the chairman of the Doña Ana County Republican Party, will seek the post in next year's GOP primary election. Clements, who's 33, is an assistant district attorney in Las Cruces. The New Mexico Politico blog describes Clements as a prominent leader in the GOP's Liberty Movement. The Santa Fe Police Department is touting the positive budgetary impacts of changing police officers' schedules from 4 10-hour days to 5 8-hour shifts. SFPD spokeswoman Selena Westervelt.
That has in turn reduced overtime expenditures for the city by 11%, saving taxpayers about $106,000 each year.
Westervelt also credits the shift with helping to curb crime.
We're fully staffed throughout all the shifts and able to do that by working the 5/8. We're also able to cover more time within the shift changeovers, so there's more officers on the street during those peak times of switching shifts, if you will, when the morning officers come in, the afternoon officers come in, and the graveyard officers go out.
Police spokeswoman Selena Westervelt. However, published reports indicate the police officers' union isn't as pleased with the schedule change as the police department's administration is. Today is World Food Day, and farmers, ranchers, and food advocates from throughout New Mexico gathered at the rail yard to urge Congress to reauthorize the Farm Bill. The Farm Bill would restore funding for SNAP, the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which benefits some 442,000 individuals in New Mexico, or 21% of the population. Also of concern to those gathered today is the impending November 1st end of a 4-year temporary boost in SNAP benefits that will result in benefit cuts for all household users. We'll have more details on this story during At Noon's feature stories later in this newscast. The woman appointed to the chair of the board of the New Mexico Finance Authority says she'll be stepping down in December. Albuquerque attorney Nan Winter was named to the post last year by Governor Martinez after learning that the NMFA's 2011 audit had been falsified. Today's Albuquerque Journal reports some 5 prospective candidates are presently being evaluated. 2 are from New Mexico, along with 1 each from Colorado, Texas, and Washington, D.C. That plan to redevelop Eastside Santa Fe's old Manderfield School has been put aside by the prospective purchasers. Michael and Claire Marist had wanted to turn the long-vacant facility into residential units, artist studios, and perhaps also a cafe. That required zoning changes that met with opposition from the Upper Canyon Road Neighborhood Association. The Marists were scheduled to then seek a less ambitious rezoning request from the city's planning commission, but this week have now withdrawn. The couple still has a contract for a $1 million purchase of the property from the Santa Fe School District. The Santa Fe Association of Realtors is out with real estate statistics for the third quarter of this year. Data points to a robust price recovery in the local market, with median sales prices pegged at $320,000, an increase of more than 13% over last year's third quarter results. In that same measure, there's also been a corresponding 7.8% rise in inventory. Also noteworthy is the decrease in the number of days properties spend on the market before selling. That's down to 154 for the third quarter, the shortest duration since 2007. Well-heeled space tourists coming to New Mexico's Spaceport America will want more six-star hotels and other hospitality industry amenities. That's what attendees at Tuesday's annual International Symposium for Personal and Commercial Spaceflight heard from speakers. The Las Cruces Sun News quotes Michael Bloom, a former senior manager at PayPal who holds a $250,000 ticket for a future flight, as saying other flyers will be looking for ritzy pleasures and ritzy places to stay and things to do. He's encouraging local businesses to cater to the needs of visitors with tremendous net worth. Santa Fe Mayor David Koss is in Las Vegas, Nevada today to address a U.S. travel panel. He'll be commenting on the negative economic impacts of the federal government shutdown, noting that one-third of hotel stays in Santa Fe are government-related and paid for. Meetings and conferences held by Sandia and Los Alamos National Laboratories also account for significant use of the convention center. All told, says Mayor Koss, the activity adds up to millions of dollars for Santa Fe's economy. The shutdown is also impacting the University of New Mexico. The Albuquerque Journal reporting that researchers and others at the university won't be able to or aren't able to get government officials to consider dozens of academic and research proposals or other pending matters. Some federal grants for health and medical research projects have been approved but not funded, and new grant applications aren't being processed during the shutdown. Weather for Santa Fe, partly cloudy today, a 40% chance for mixed rain and snow showers through midday, and a high of 49 degrees. Clear tonight with an overnight low of 28. Expect sunny skies tomorrow and highs in the mid to upper 50s. I'm Tom Tropridge, KSFR News.
Thank you, Tom. And we have much more of At Noon coming up for you in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Santa Fe Reporter, providing local news and arts and entertainment information to more than 60,000 readers each week. The Reporter is available every Wednesday at over 300 locations in Santa Fe and the surrounding area, and on the web at sfreporter.com.
13 minutes past the hour as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. With Washington focused on ending the government shutdown and averting a debt ceiling crisis, several important issues are not being dealt with. One of those is the Farm Bill. The current bill expired on October 1st, and to date there has been no significant movement in Congress to reinstate it. A rally is underway at the rail yard this hour, celebrating World Food Day, and to show support for a much-needed new national farm bill. One of the speakers is Paula Garcia, the executive director of the New Mexico Acequia Association. She spoke with us here at KSFR News about the impact of not having a farm bill.
I think the most important consequence immediately is the impact to our rural economy in New Mexico. New Mexico is largely rural. Many of our communities still rely on our agricultural income as a big part of the economy. And the Farm Bill supports many programs that are important to farmers and ranchers in New Mexico. These include disaster programs for dealing with drought and flood losses. Those are going to be some of the programs that are most immediately missed, I think, if we don't have a farm bill in the very near future. And farm bill programs also support new and beginning farmers. We've been part of a national movement to make reforms to the farm bill. So it's not the traditional, just the commodity programs and the nutrition programs. We've actually, as a result of grassroots efforts around the country, added programs that support beginning farmers, minority farmers, and ranchers. And organic production, diversifying organic production. There's a farmers market promotion program. Relatively newer programs are at stake in the renewal of the Farm Bill. And so we're really urging Congress to pass a full and fair Farm Bill. The last version of the Farm Bill that was enacted was through a continuing resolution during the fiscal cliff negotiations. And during the fiscal cliff negotiations, there was a continuing resolution passed, and it had a very stripped-down version of Farm Bill. And it left some of these newer, innovative programs that support new and beginning farmers and minority farmers and organic production. Those programs were left stranded. Additionally, more recently, the House has passed versions of the Farm Bill that strip out the food and nutrition title, which funds the SNAP program. And our farmers and ranchers benefit from SNAP, especially those of our members who are vendors at the farmers markets. They are earning as a part of their income from SNAP benefits that low-income people are using to shop at farmers markets.
In addition to the effect on farmers, the impact of a lack of a farm bill is also being felt by many other New Mexicans.
Well, I think anyone who cares about food is being hurt. There's a growing movement to support locally grown food, and because of that growing movement, we're seeing a greater interest among farmers and ranchers who have traditionally done small-scale production in New Mexico because that's what our environment provides for. Because there's an interest in locally grown food, anyone who wants to eat locally grown food is impacted. Access to healthy and fresh locally grown food is going to be impacted if our farmers don't have the support system that the Farm Bill helps to provide. And so I think that the ripple effects beyond the farmers go to anyone who cares about locally grown food. But our rural economies are very important. It's for the agricultural economy actually has a multiplier effect. And so when there's actual production happening in a community and that brings in dollars, those dollars recirculate to all the local businesses. The dollars that come into the community from agricultural production circulate in the community and thereby support the livelihoods of many more people beyond just the farmers.
And Garcia noted it's very hard to predict when an adequate farm bill will become a reality.
It's very difficult for me to watch what's happening in Washington. It's hard to believe that the farm bill is hung up, but it's harder even to watch to see that the government has been shut down and there is an impasse over the debt ceiling, and it's very disconcerting. It's hard to predict when a farm bill will be passed. When prior to this government shutdown, we were at a point where it looked like there was going to be a House and Senate conference committee, and select members of House and Senate would come together and work out their differences on the farm bill. And all of these other things have happened, and it's delayed the farm bill even further. So the farm bill expired on October 1st, and it's going to start impacting programs. Our farmers and ranchers, who depend on conservation programs are already being affected. People aren't having their applications processed. And so it's hard to predict when there's going to be a new farm bill. We pledge to work with Congress on a renewal of the farm bill, a full and fair farm bill. And I am encouraged by the fact that there are large numbers of congressional leaders who do support a full and fair farm bill. The Senate passed a reasonable version of the farm bill that we think contains most of the items that we care about. And the House, most of our New Mexico delegation has supported our priorities, including keeping SNAP in the farm bill, and also all these programs that I talked about that support small-scale minority and beginning farmers and sustainable agriculture. So in that sense, I feel some sense of optimism. I think we're just hoping that those who haven't supported the Farm Bill will come around and see that this is something that really benefits their district and benefits the whole country.
And finally, she had this to say.
We want to send a strong message that farmers and ranchers in New Mexico have support, and also that this is about food justice for everyone. And a full and fair Farm Bill not only supports farmers and ranchers, but it will include the nutrition titles that are so important for food security in New Mexico and the children of New Mexico who depend on these programs for their basic needs. So we're really urging anyone who cares about food and to call on Congress to do the right thing.
That was Paula Garcia from the New Mexico Acequia Association. Again, that event supporting World Food Day and a new farm bill is underway at this hour at Santa Fe's Rail Yard. More of At Noon in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Green Fire Times, a new monthly publication focusing on all things green, including health, healing, organic foods, nutrition, permaculture, sustainability, green-collar jobs, and renewable energy. Green Fire Times is distributed at newsstands from Albuquerque to Taos. More information and an online edition can be found at greenfiretimes.com.
20 minutes past the hour here in the KSFR newsroom as At Noon continues. Although high school graduation rates in New Mexico have been disappointing, the state is working to increase the number of students receiving their diplomas. A new study has come out which quantifies the effect of an increased graduation rate on our state's economy. Joining us now to discuss the report is Bob Wise, former governor of West Virginia, and now the president for the Alliance for Excellent Education. Bob, tell us exactly what do the numbers reveal?
We think it's very important everyone focus on the economy. And what our data shows in the economic model that we were able to build with the general support of State Farm, but what this shows is that the best economic stimulus package for New Mexico and the rest of the country is a diploma, a high school diploma, which now is the launch pad, no longer the finish line. For New Mexico, what we were able to determine, and let's remember, this is for just one class of graduates, not for all high school dropouts, but just one class. What we find in New Mexico is that if you increase the high school graduation rate to 90%, then the economic benefits are from that one class of former dropouts, now high school graduates, become very large. They will be earning annually $75 million more, for instance, when they're fully into the workforce. They're going to be paying taxes to New Mexico of around $5 million. And significantly, that one class, because they'll have additional income to spend, they will be working, but they will also create 600 new jobs from that one class. So now multiply that one class times 5 or 10, and you can see that simply increasing the high school graduation rate has great economic impact for New Mexico. I also want to point out that New Mexico has made strides, and in fact, we also calculated that because New Mexico has raised its high school graduation rate by 2.3 percentage points from just one class to another, from 2011 to 2012, we calculate that just this increase alone is already going to produce for New Mexico somewhere around $112 million in increased lifetime earnings and $400,000 in additional annual each year state and local tax revenue. So which what we call, you already are seeing a graduation gain from improving graduation rates in high school somewhat over 2%. Keeping at it means that you're only going to see much greater results.
Now, a 90% graduation rate sounds high. Is that a realistically attainable number?
It is. It's not only realistically achievable, it's realistically necessary. Because New Mexico, like the rest of the country, no longer will have as many jobs for high school dropouts as it once did. And in fact, when I graduated from high school roughly 40 years ago, 72% of all jobs in this country were being held by people with less than with a high school diploma or less. Today, 60% of all jobs require some education after high school. So it is attainable. New Mexico has already shown that it's making gains. You do have a ways to go. Every state does, but it is attainable. But it's attainable not only because it's vital for the individual student, but for New Mexico's economy. Your economy increasingly, even in very traditional industries, is going to depend upon a higher and higher education level. And a high school diploma is fast becoming not the finish line, but actually the starting line, because then whether or not someone goes on to a four-year institution, 2 years, or get some kind of workforce training, they are going to need more and more education after high school. So high school is the kickoff, not the end of the game. And that's why the gains that New Mexico has posted in just the last year are encouraging, 2.3%. It will already show up in your economy as these 700 new graduates create about $112 million in increased lifetime earnings. But more significantly is the gain that you'll make by continuing the effort and getting to a 90% rate. And at that point, one high school class alone will yield you around $75 million a year in increased annual earnings, creating 600 new jobs each year. That's pretty phenomenal, and as well as paying almost $5 million in annual state and local tax revenues. And let's remember, a lot of those dropouts would have been tax consumers. Now you've made them taxpayers.
We know there is a large blue-collar gap where there are millions of job openings for people with trade training and no one to fill them. That type of training also requires a high school diploma. Should we assume more trained tradespeople also leads to economic advantages for the state?
See, about from a number of studies, I see the same estimate that there are about 3 million jobs that that go begging, that require some level of skill, but there aren't enough skilled people to find them. And now these aren't jobs that require a PhD. These are what you would call blue-collar jobs. They do require a high school diploma, and they do require some education after a high school graduation. It could be workforce training. It could be a two-year degree, but they do require some sort of post-secondary education. So let's make sure that we all understand that a high school diploma is absolutely critical, and we celebrate every student who gets it. But we also have to make sure every student understands that that's the starting point, not the finishing line. Those jobs are available, but they're going to require additional training past high school. That's why the high school graduation is so important.
Anything else you'd like to add?
This is a critical time in education, and in New Mexico, state and local education officials and political officials, just like every other state, have critical decisions to make in the next couple of years as far as raising their standards to college and career ready, to boosting high school graduation rates, dealing with constrained budgets, and then how they use technology. We see promising signs in New Mexico. And what must be remembered above all is that the single greatest economic stimulus package is a diploma. And that's increasingly true in an information age. So that one class of graduates that we can, when we work hard, get them up to 90% high school graduation rate, pays great dividends for the student and his or her opportunities, and also for the state of New Mexico.
Bob Wise from the Alliance for Excellent Education, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Lannan Foundation. Lannan Foundation presents a public lecture by Jeremy Scahill, author, journalist, and national security correspondent for The Nation magazine, on Wednesday, October 30th at 7 p.m. at the Linzic Performing Arts Center, followed by a conversation with writer and editor Tom Engelhart. Tickets available now. Call 988-1234. More information at Lannan.org.
There is a program in Santa Fe aimed at helping young adults with disabilities transition into the workplace. Here is KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard with the story.
This month, the state is focusing on persons with disabilities. Of particular interest is finding ways for those folks to become active in the business world. One program aimed at providing that service is the Kiva program, which works with young adults. Joe Rochelle is with the program.
The Kiva program, Kiva stands for Keeping Independent Visions Alive. And basically, the Kiva program is a transition program. We provide transition services that are intended to prepare our students to move toward community involvement, self-advocacy, and independent living. We go out to different job sites throughout the day and teach them, different job skills at the different sites. We also go over everyday life skills here at the program, in the actual classroom, things that, we take for granted, things like learning how to manage a bank account, learning how to give the correct amount of money, receive the correct amount of change back, just different things of that nature. But mostly we're in the community at the different job sites. Mm-hmm. Currently in our program we have 16 students. But we also coordinate with the different transition programs at the high schools. We coordinate with the life skill programs at Capital and Santa Fe High. So we have 16 in our program, but there'll be times when we'll do things with the life skills programs as well. So anywhere from 16 students to, I would say, 35.
The program is quite successful in getting people either paid or volunteer jobs.
Currently, we've had two students from the past receive paying jobs. We have close to 80% of the students that volunteer and don't get paid for jobs, but we have currently two students that do get paid for our at a paying job. The different types of jobs, anything from Avon, I mean that's a paid job, so but the non paid jobs would be anything from things Kitchen Angels, where we do work over there as far as washing dishes, food prep, Louisa Center, we do food prep, Salvation Army, we bag food and shred and do clerical work, you know, things like filing, shredding. We also have done one of our other job sites is Chavez Center. They do custodial, anything from custodial work to just general maintenance of the weight room there. And we recently have picked up another job site and are working on clerical skills, and that would be the Attorney General's office. And, you know, the job sites we work with right now are great because, you know, they don't charge us and you know, we learn the different skills and they allow us and they're patient with us and teach us the different skills that need to be learned.
There are a few options for obtaining more information on the Kiva program.
Those that are interested would like to have more information about it. They can go on Santa Fe Public Schools website, which is www.sfps, that's S as in Sam, F as in Frank, P as in Peter, S as in schools, .info, and just look for the update. They can contact me directly here at 505-467-9921 or email me at C as in Charles, Rochelle, Rachal, at sfps.info.
Joe Rochelle with the Kiva program. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
Support for KSFR comes from Upaya Zen Center. Upaya welcomes the community during its fall practice period, a time for turning inward and allowing deep reflection. Attend as a Zenkai, a day-long silent meditation retreat, on November 2nd or November 9th, or come for the fall session entitled Silent Illumination, an intensive 5-day silent meditation retreat, November 12th to 17th. To learn more, visit upaya.org. That's upaya.org.
12:33 here in the KSFR newsroom, just past the bottom of the hour, is the perfect opportunity to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
We live in an aggressive, angry world. My goodness, that sounds like it's from Tom Cruise's last speech in the movie Jerry Maguire. Nevertheless, the statement is true, but what if you and I work to make it a less aggressive and angry world? The other day, another driver and I had a standoff in our cars on one of our narrow streets. You know the drill, vehicle parked next to the curb and only one car can pass it at a time. So the other driver and I faced each other. I realized what was happening. We weren't having a standoff, we were having a nice-off, each of us urging the other to go first. And it occurred to me, what if we went around trying to out-nice each other? Not giving ourselves up to being pushed around, but giving of our niceness. To resurrect the hackneyed phrase, have a nice day, and make it operational on a daily basis. It would be nice. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here on mic, with thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Tom Trowbridge and Charles Maynard. And we'll be back tomorrow with more news of and for New Mexico for you. And as always, we hope you join us.